Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw, Sunday, May 12th. It's Mother's Day. Richie, how you doing today?
Good. I'm going to see my mom out in Melbourne. It's kind of the halfway point between here and Vero, where she's retired now. Shout out to all the moms out there. How about you, TJ? Shout out Kara.
Yeah, doing well. We had my mom over yesterday. We're doing Mother's Day with her mom today, but yeah, I always feel bad for her because, like, she's obviously a you know, newer mom, right? Five or so years, but she still, like, has to do all the things for, like, her mom and stuff. So we've tried to, like, tone down, like, what we do today so that it can be a little bit more chilled. So a little movie magic. We recorded this the night before, but yeah, thank you. I'll let her know. And she's still having a good day. I know it. So, let's jump right into it. Double Fries, No Slaw, brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee, 1818 West Tennessee Street, 2550 North Monroe, and 2870 Appalachie Parkway. Hey, they were without power, as many people were, due to some storms that came through Tallahassee this weekend. If you're listening to this, hopefully you are safe. Hopefully your property, your family, your possessions didn't sustain too much damage. You know, a lot of people have power back already now, and hopefully that continues to come back as quickly as possible. I know there was some damage to Dick Hauser, some very minor stuff to other places too. I saw the circus got it pretty good as far as the tent goes, but tough to see that happen. Some people spared, though. I don't know if you saw the pictures of Josie Muffley's house, Richie. You know, there was a tree fell on a current Florida State softball player's room, Autumn Belvi, who was in Durham, just due to the fact that she was traveling with the team for the ACC championship. So thankful that she wasn't home in the early morning Friday hours when all that was going on. But big prayers up to Tallahassee and all those kind of affected by the crazy, crazy weather that came through on Friday morning.
Yeah, definitely. The images I saw were just, you know, really upsetting. You know, Tallahassee, you know, I put a tweet out last week saying something like, you know, I'd rather have a hurricane than a tornado. And tornadoes, they just come out of nowhere, and we saw the devastation. You mentioned the circus, you know, Madso had some damage. Just a very, you know, unfortunate for this city that we all love. And, you know, property can be replaced, lives cannot. One thing I love, you know, the very sad situation, the Ellie, the Florida State student who was died in a hit and run, you know, her memorial was untouched, that's just like, you know, God did that, right? Like everything was destroyed around the town and her memorial was just not touched at all. One of the very few positives to come out of the storms in Tallahassee.
Yeah, I saw Garnet Gold out of power. I saw Guthrie's is out. I think Guthrie's has it back now. I'm not sure if Garnet Gold does or not. But, yeah, it's just tough for, you know, those local businesses that's, you know, how their families and stuff are making money. And then obviously people's houses and stuff that are impacted. And, you know, obviously loss of life or injury is what's most important. But, yeah, just a lot of people impacted. And you almost feel I know it's weird when stuff like that happens. You almost feel like guilty that, you know, oh man, why did this happen to them and not us? But yeah, we, like Richie said, we deal with it with hurricanes here in the central part of the state. And not that Tallahassee doesn't get hurricanes, but you know, this Tampa area that I'm in is certainly impacted. And so yeah, weather out there is insane. And thankful that most reports, as much damage as there was, most reports are, most people are pretty safe. I don't know of, you know, too many, you know, injuries, casualties, things like that. Like I think it's been pretty limited. And so, thankful for that. So prayers up to those in Tallahassee. But wanted to send a shout out, not only to all the moms, so shout out all the moms, but everybody that was impacted, up there, which I know obviously there's a lot of people that listen to us that are up in that area. Richie, we'll jump right into it. Florida State got some pretty rough news this week. Mike Norvell confirms to Zach Blostein of Noles 247 that Destin Hill would be out for the season. We heard some rumors about this. We heard some speculation that this might happen. Got some conflicting reports on, oh, would it be season ending? Would it be something that he could maybe work back from? Mike did come out this week and say that Hill would be out. I want to talk a little bit about who steps up in Hill's absence, as it seemed like Hill was starting to put some things together towards the later part of the year last year. Obviously, an older true freshman that you would think could start to get things going a little bit faster. So obviously brutal for him. I do want to talk about in just a minute who we think steps up and what that wide receiver room looks like. Norvell also did update that TJ Ferguson and Malik Benson were both fine, should be good to go by the time that fall camp gets around. Another questions around those guys when it came to leaving early in the spring game. We had updated our Patreon that we expected both of them to be very good. So if you haven't joined over there, there is a link in the description. But Richie, before we get to what the wide receiver room looks like this year, a tough, tough break for Destin Hill.
Yeah, and you hate it for a guy that, you know, his journey to just to get to Florida State, and shout out Mike Norvell and this staff for, you know, staying true to him and just waiting for two full years until he got here. He flashed a lot last year, or not a lot, but a little last year. And this kind of was going to be the year that I expected him to break out. And it just sucks for him that he's going to miss the season. And, you know, the wide receiver room as a whole, I think there's a lot of untapped talent. However, there's no proven talent for the most part. I mean, we could talk about Ja'Kai or whoever we want, but man, it just stinks that Destin Hill, who I think had a real chance to emerge as an all ACC type player, I think he's that good, that talented. He's going to miss the 2024 season. And TJ, what do we have left? Like I said, I think we have a lot of untapped talent. I don't think we're going in with a bunch of nobodies, but we're going in with a lot of unproven players this season at that position.
Yeah, I think last year Florida State had two, you know, guys that could be bona fide number ones on a lot of rosters, right? And one just due to natural raw physical ability and size with Johnny Wilson, and a guy who really grew here as well. Like, I don't want to make it all just like, oh, Johnny was tall and that's why he was good. But and then another guy in Keon Coleman who went, you know, one pick after the first round, right? And so I think that is what's missing. As far as the entire room, I mean, there's a lot of really good pieces in the room. Former five-star Hakeem Williams. You talk about Jalen Lucas. You talk about Ja'Kai Douglas, who you just mentioned. You know, Kentron and Williamson in there as well. Malik Benson, the transfer. And then behind those guys, there are four-star wide receivers that Florida State recruited this year. Camden Fryer, Elijah Moore comes in this summer. B.J. Gibson. You've got a lot of talent in that room behind those guys anyway, but are you counting on true freshmen? Are you counting on a true sophomore in Hakeem? Are you counting on guys who have had struggles in the past, Darion and Kentron with injuries or drops or whatever? I don't know that you're counting on Jalen Lucas to be, you know, your number one. So I don't think the Noles have a true wide receiver one. Now, somebody at the end of the day is going to step up and take that wide receiver run one role. But a true wide receiver run one is how many other teams are they wide receiver one on, right? Yeah. I think Florida has that in Eugene Wilson. I think Miami has that with a couple of wide receivers that do a good job. I think you can make as many jokes about how he disappeared in the Florida State game, but Restrepo would be a one on a lot of teams. Colby Young would be a number one on a lot of teams. And so I think that Florida State's probably biggest question mark on the entire roster right now is wide receiver. And so we talked about this a little bit off air, Richie. If I've got a pick for wide receiver one, you know, so I'll give you my wide receiver one and two, and then we'll maybe talk about number three here in a minute. In some order, I think the guys who lead us this year are going to be Malik Benson and Kentron Poirier. I am hoping that Kentron can get through the year healthy. I know that's been a struggle for him here at Florida State. I am hoping that whatever issues were happening with drops in the spring game and in spring camp and in spring practice and stuff can be remedied, and we can kind of limit that as much as possible. I feel like when you've got a problem with drops, like, you just always have a problem with drops. Like, Mike Evans is one of the best ever to play, and you still just, like, look at a couple catches a game and you're like, what in the world are you doing here, bro? Like, what's going on? Like, when you have a drops thing, like, I've not seen many guys just, like, shake the drops thing. You know, like, I don't think that ever goes away. Hopefully it will. I'd love to be wrong here. Knock on wood, right? Like, I'd love for that to get revisited and reshared. But all things considered, I don't think they make a massive splash in the portal. I don't think there's a guy out there that's worth taking.
There's no Keons this year?
No Keons. Not even close to a Keon. There's no even Key, let alone a Keon. And so, yeah, I think your one and two are going to be, in some order, Benson and Kentron. I'd love to see others step up just because that means the ceiling is going even higher. But I think almost by default, And I do think Benson's going to be really good. I think Benson's going to be really, really good for the Noles this year. How many other teams would Benson be a one on? That's where my question lies. Yeah. But I think Benson, Kentron, 1-2 in some order, kind of how things are going to shake out at some point for the Noles this year.
Yeah, I definitely think Kentron, if he stays healthy, you remember last spring, he had the best spring of any receiver to include Johnny Wilson last year. Like, Kentron had a phenomenal spring last year. He is immensely talented and physically gifted, and I think he has a chance to have a really good season. I think Hakeem, you know, by all reports, he did not take the steps that we would have wanted him to see, or what we would have wanted to see from him. Disappointing, but if he has a good fall camp and gets into, you know, the season, I think Hakeem's a guy that can really do it. Ja'Kai, you know, he's one of those guys. He's not going to be a wide receiver one anywhere just because of his physical limitations, but he's made big plays. I feel like he's been at Florida State for 10 years at this point, but he just makes big plays and big games, and I love that. You know, Jalen Lucas is another guy who's not going to be a wide receiver one just because of physical limitations. However, man, you have to have packages for him, and he will make plays. I'm excited to see the ball in his hands this season, and you know, we'll just see what happens. Like you said, we don't know who our true number one guy is. I think a lot of that is going to be based on who DJ Uiagalelei builds those relationships with, because that really matters. That's important. And who does he trust? Because that's what it's going to come down to. I'm just really excited. I think there's a lot of talent. You just don't go into this season like we did last year knowing, okay, Johnny, some issues with drops, but we know he'll make plays when he has to. And Keon is just, you know, we were lucky to get him. There's no way he should have ever entered the portal. And the fact that we got him was ridiculous. We don't have that clear focus heading into the season this year, but I do think there's the potential is there to have some really good players.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Florida State will be fine at the wide receiver position because Mike Norvell does a phenomenal job of working guys into things. And I mean, even late in the year last year, when you saw that Keon and Johnny were missing time, like, other guys got involved, and Florida State did a really good job of continuing to move the ball down the field and use other guys. And you remember, you mentioned Ja'Kai, you know, always kind of being there ready, like that Pitt game where those big two didn't really play. He was there and making plays for you and beating guys deep. And so maybe Ja'Kai turns into your number three. Maybe he is, you know, very much a slot guy for you that plays a ton more. You know, he's not had a full season of health in a long time. And so you'd like to see some of these guys stay healthy. Maybe it's Hakeem. You know, again, you'd like to hear more out of Hakeem when fall camp runs around. Still a five-star talent that was incredibly raw, has put on a lot of size, and you'd hope that his athleticism kind of takes over. We'll see what that kind of looks like once he's out there. But I don't think it'll – what I worry about with Florida State is not necessarily a big picture. I think they'll be fine in the wide receiver room. I think that DJ will make enough plays. I think they'll be pretty run heavy. That'll open things up for wide receivers. And as long as they can hold onto the ball, they'll be fine. What I worry about is when it comes to that crunch time, big time situation late against Clemson in overtime or late against Miami to go up by 2 scores. Who do you just throw the ball up to and say, that guy's coming down with the catch? I don't know that there is someone right now. Now, somebody emerge by week 3 or 4. Does somebody emerge by week 5 when you play Clemson or however that ends up looking? I hope, right? I don't know yet. But on the whole, I think they'll be fine. And I think they'll be put in good positions. I think they'll get open. I think they'll do a good job for the most part. This schedule is very backloaded, where you've got some easy games to start. You do have Clemson, but then you have Miami, Florida, and Notre Dame all late. I think you'll have a chance to have some guys kind of step into those roles. But again, you get into a late game situation. Last year, you knew what you could do. You throw it up to Johnny, you throw it up to Keon, and most of the time, they're coming down with a catch. It's overtime in Clemson, doesn't matter. Throw it up to Keon. It's late in the game against Florida or Miami, doesn't matter. Throw it up to Johnny, we'll be fine. That's where I think we'll struggle the most. That's what concerns me the most, unless that guy emerges. Now, Kentron's got the size for it, and Kentron has the ability to go do it. Can he hold on to the ball? Can he stay healthy? Can he hold on to the ball? If he can do those two things, he might end up being your number one, right? And Malik might kind of slot in behind him. That's the biggest thing to me. Florida State's got the talent on the roster. The talent just has to perform, right? Like, you've got to, at the end of the day, you got to execute. If by some miracle, which the portal window is closed now, so it'd have to be, I have no clue how, but by some miracle, if some kind of Keon jumps into the portal, I think you go all out to try and grab him. Otherwise, I think you're riding with what you got and you roll with it. And at the end of the day, you know, I mean, what you got to do, you got to develop, you got to keep guys healthy. You got to, I mean, injuries stink. I get it, but you know, you got to develop and you've got a lot of young talent in that room. Destin, Hakeem, four stars behind those guys. You're going to have a chance to continue to develop that room better and better and better. You also obviously have the portal, but you might run into years like this one where the portal doesn't give you a whole lot. Even in the first cycle, they went out and got Benson. I don't think there were a lot of guys out in that portal window that they were super interested in going after. I just think it was a weaker portal year at the wide receiver position. So you can't always count on the portal. As good as Florida State's been in the portal, that's, you know, for the, not to get on the whole portal rant, which I'm rambling at this point, Richie, but not to get on the whole portal rant, but when people say is the portal sustainable from the aspect of like, can you continue to hit? Well, I think Florida State's always going to hit. My big concern is, where's the Keon this year, right? Where's that guy? Because I don't know that he exists. Where's the Johnny Wilson this year? I don't know that he exists. That's what worries me the most about the portal. It's not that Florida State can't land them, because they can. But those guys just didn't exist this year in the portal. And that's what worries me. But again, for the future, you've got Hakeem Williams, Destin Hill, two blue chips, and then four more blue chips behind them that you recruited this year. You should be able to make this a really, really good wide receiver room for a long time.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I think, like we said, the talent's there. We just don't know where it's going to come from. It's like, you know, TJ, I'm a big Orlando Magic fan. Very good young core. And we knew Paolo Banchero was good. We knew, you know, Franz Wagner was good. But again, very young, and it's coming together. Obviously a first-round bounce, but that's okay. That's kind of what I feel about this receiver room. There's a lot of good core talent there, and it just needs to come together. And if the Donk does his job, shout out Ron Dugans. Man, I think this could be a special room by the end of the season. When we talk about this group in December, it might sound a lot different than what we're talking about right now, where we're saying we have a lot of unknown pieces in, you know, potential and talent, but no production. But by the end of this season, by December, when we're talking after Florida State wins another ACC championship and we're getting ready for the college football playoff, we might say, hey, we have a damn good receiver room right now.
I'm hoping. Fingers crossed. I'm not super down on the wide receiver room. I do believe it's the biggest question mark on the team right now.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I think that there's a lot of talent there. It's, can they go out and prove it? So, hey, we mentioned Garnet and Gold. We will certainly show them some love. If you are shopping online for, well, it's a little late for Mother's Day, but if you forgot a Mother's Day gift, if you're looking for a Father's Day gift, if you are in the market for any kind of items or Florida State gear, swag, whatever, garnetandgold.com. Use code NOSLAW, NOSLAW. You get 15% off. They give back to our boosters. They give back to NIL. They've employed thousands of FSU students down through the years. Listen, they were impacted by this hurricane too. So if you just got a little bit of extra money and you want to buy some FSU swag, some FSU gear, and maybe help them out a little bit in a hard time, go ahead and do that. If you're not in Tallahassee and you want to help out a great establishment that supports not only us, but our boosters and our NIL, garnetandgold.com. Go buy you something. Buy your mom something. Tell her it's on the way and should be here this week. If you're in the state of Florida, NOSLAW, NOSLAW, for 15% off. Richie, 13-0 last year. I feel like that's going to be hard to top, but Florida State's getting some love in a lot of places. We're going to talk about where they're getting some love, where they maybe aren't getting as much love, and look at what this upcoming year may be. It all starts in Dublin, just a few months away. What are we in, May right now? June, July, August, a little over 3 months from now, about 100 days.
It's crazy.
If you think about it from that perspective, we will be taking on Georgia Tech. And I've seen a lot of talk about this line. I've seen a lot of talk about how this is set, Richie. Is Florida State, as a 2-touchdown favorite, 13? I know that's a little below two touchdowns, but let's say we miss an extra point to end the game, or we just kneel it because we wouldn't miss it. We kneel it to just win by 13 to troll Mario. Florida State by 13, losing 10 NFL guys? Is that district? And with, and I know that the travel gets canceled out for both teams, but is that a little disrespectful to Georgia Tech?
I might be betting Georgia Tech. 13 is a lot.
Well, I'm taking the Noles. I'm taking the Noles, so it doesn't matter.
In that scenario, I think, man, like, and we'll get through. We have five more games that we do have lines on from a official Vegas sports book. We won't say who it is because do not sponsor the show. But, man, like, 13 seems like a lot for a season opener with a completely revamped roster, right? You said we lost 10 guys to the draft, a couple others to undrafted free agency. Man, I'd like Florida State to win this game. I would not be spending all this money and flying to Dublin if I thought we were going to lose. But my goodness, 13 points. Yeah, TJ, I think that's disrespectful for the Yellow Jackets.
Okay, so I heard a take this week, and I'm going to repeat it. And I'll tell you where I heard it from. So I heard it from Barrett Sully on his new podcast, College Football Smothered and Covered. And he didn't love the line either, right? He thought it was a little bit high. But what he did say was that that line is incredibly – it speaks incredibly well and incredibly highly of Mike Norvell. And if we say and we believe – and we talked about this in another video. I think we're going to talk about it in another video or episode coming up soon. But if we say that Mike Norvell is a top five coach in this sport, and we say that Florida State has a top 15 roster in college football, top 10, I don't know how, you know, if you want to do it just by recruiting rankings, if you want to do it by, you know, the portal and development and stuff, it's somewhere between probably 8 and 13. If we're saying that they're a top, you know, that's a top 10% program. There's 130 teams, right?
Yeah.
You're saying they're in the top 10%. You're a neutral site game. You're a top five coach. You've got a former five-star quarterback who, though he has been up and down, is still leagues better than what you're going to see. I don't know if two touchdowns is that big of a deal, right? Like, I know that's a lot for an opener and travel and what could happen and all that, but like, I think it just shows a lot of respect for what Mike Norvell is building. Yeah. I think when you look at the rosters, when you look at, I mean, the brands, everything else, like, I think it kind of makes some sense. Now, I'm not trying to talk you into betting on Florida State or anything like that, but I think when you really, like, will it shock you if we lead the whole game by 10 and kick a field goal late to put it, to ice the game, right? Like, because, no. Like, 10 wouldn't, if it was 10, you'd take it, right? If it was Florida State 9.5,
easy.
You'd take it.
Easy money.
So, yeah. Like, I don't know. I think you're kind of, like, split, not you, but, like, I think if you're saying, oh, 10, yeah. 13... I think that's just where we are. And this is where Florida State needs to be. Florida State needs to be on the other side of some crooked number spreads from now on, some double-digit spreads from now on, because too long we've been fooling around with this junk where we're playing somebody like Syracuse or BC or UNC or like anyone not named Clemson or Miami or Florida, and the spread's been close. And those days need to be done. And so, I don't know. I'm taking the Noles minus 13 here. Harlan, start to write these down. Let's see who our Mother's Day May predictions.
So I'm not taking an official stance either way, but
no. We're as of today, let's bet on it. Just between me and you. Let's see who gets more of these.
Right? As of today, I'll take Florida State to cover.
All right, we'll both take them.
I'll take them.
I talked you into it a little bit. But also, we're not really betting. Like,
but then 8 days later, they're flying across the pond from Dublin back to Tallahassee to take on Boston College, where they're favored by 23, a game that gave us all heartburn last year, TJ. I remember sitting on the couch. I was on a bachelor party, and we are all Florida State grads, and just freaking the heck out about what is going on. This guy, Castellanos, is just killing us. 23-point favorites. This is one I will take BC on the spread, by the way.
Yeah, this one's crazy. To me, this is crazier than the 13 against Georgia Tech, just because I don't know. Would you take? I wouldn't take Georgia Tech minus 10 against Boston College neutral field right now. Like, I think I'd take BC in the points. Yeah. So, like, if that's how I'm doing it, this is crazier to me than the Georgia Tech one.
Four touchdowns. Fucking international flight.
Four scores is a lot, man. Like, that's a lot of points. And so I can talk myself into like, oh, we could be up by 9 and score a late touchdown and cover against Georgia Tech. You know, like I could talk myself into that. You're not backdoor covering this. I mean, I guess you could, right? Like you'd be up 17 and score. But like, that's a lot of points. Now, that said, Boston College is a dumpster fire with a brand new coach. Florida State will have had the – I'll play devil's advocate for you. Florida State will have had the warm-up game, right, playing in Dublin. And you saw what they did with that a couple of years ago, playing LSU after they had Duquesne. I do think that helped them a lot. And so I think that'll help. You got a brand new coach, brand new system. Boston College lost a ton. I expect them to be bottom two or three in the ACC, maybe excluding some of the newer additions. But I think Boston College is going to be really, really bad. And again, if you're Florida State, if you took the Dublin trip out of it, if you took like the fact that they're playing across the pond,
yeah,
I think that this spread would be fine. The thing that worries me is Dublin. Again, caveat to that, it's actually 9 days because it's on Labor Day night, so you're getting it. You're getting 2 extra days to get over that jet lag. And again, I think it's much easier to come back this way from Dublin as opposed to having to go 6 hours the other way. So I don't worry about that quite as much. I know they'll be jet lagged. You'll get a couple of days to get over that. And then you get until Monday night. Again, inside a Doak, probably at 1-0. Man, 23 is so many points. I'll take Boston College plus 23. Like I'll do all that talking, but I'll
all that to agree that that's
I have the Noles winning that comfortably. Like I'm not nervous about that game. I'm not, you know, I don't think it'll be like last year. I mean, you remember last year, even in that game, we were up by like what 17 or 21 or something, and it kind of just like snowballed out of control. Like they were dominating that game too. I think we dropped like a 3rd and 10 or something, like 15 yards down the field. And had we caught that, it would have been, you know, like midfield, you're up by 3 scores, you know, you probably just started to salt it away at that point. Drop that, they get a long punt return, that kind of started snowballing from there, the fumble 6, all that stuff. So, yeah, I don't think it'll be close. I don't think you'll have the heartburn last year like you had last year. I don't think the red bandana will make an appearance, which is always a good thing. though I respect it, I hate playing in it. And I think we'll win, but 23 is a lot. So, all right, here's one that I think I'm going to take the points on this too. Florida State's a 4-point favorite at home against Clemson.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with somebody about this on Friday. Yeah.
I'm not concerned about this game, TJ.
Yeah. You're not concerned?
Not really.
No, I think this is the toughest game on the schedule.
I disagree. I think Miami is. I think
when we do our schedule rankings later, at least for right now, to me, this is the toughest game. And I think it was the toughest game you played last year too. I think you saw it
in overtime, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, went to overtime. You kind of needed, I don't want to say a lucky play, but you just needed something to break just right for you, like the most miraculous play of the season by Kalen DeLoach for you to have a chance to win this game. So outside of that, I mean, they kicked the field goal to go up 10 there at the start of the fourth. Like this thing's, I don't want to say over, but like obviously we didn't score again. And so, yeah, Florida State -4 against Clemson. I think I would take Clemson with the points there just because like I could see the Noles winning by like 3. So like, I like the points there with Clemson. And I'm not necessarily picking Clemson to win that game, but to me, it's our toughest game. I think it'd be really tough to, I don't know. I think Clemson's got a 50-50 chance of winning that game. I think they dominated us in a lot of aspects last year.
Yeah, they should
have
won.
And so I'm going to need to see us take a pretty big step. I'm going to need DJ to have like a revenge game. I'd love to be wrong here, but I mean, if I'm getting 4 points with Clemson at this point, I'll probably just take it. I'm interested to see what that line looks like once we get to it, but 4 points right now for Clemson, I'll do it. Richie.
I'm never a guy that's going to bet these way early lines because so much can
change. No. Just here on the show with you.
Yeah, for sure. but if I were to bet today, I would take Florida State because I just think, you know, you look at Dabo, what has he done in the portal? He's brought in 0 players. He has lost 13 players. Like, what is his roster going to look like? He's going to have a full scholarship, 85, whatever. But how many players deserve scholarships? Is Dabo training for the NFL? Is he going to have 53 scholarship-worthy players? I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. I just don't trust it. I think Florida State's in a much better position than Clemson. I think this past year we passed them. I think Clemson was probably the better team when we played that game, but we had the better players to go out and make those plays like Keon did in overtime to win that game. And Jordan Travis, shout out the New York Jets, going up and throwing that pass. But, man, I'm not worried about Clemson. Like, it will be a tough game, and I'm sure when we do our preview show for that game that Wednesday night before Clemson, I will be nervous as could be, because I always am. But as right now, sitting here on Mother's Day 2024, you know, a couple months before the season, I don't think that's our toughest game. I truly think Miami's our toughest game, and I think that's what we're going to talk about next.
Yeah, so Richie's got us covering the spread there. I've got Clemson.
Yep.
So I've got Florida State covering this one. So as of right now, Florida State minus a point and a half. Yeah, I do think this is going to be an extremely tough game. I think it's either the second or third toughest game. We'll talk about the other one that I think we all kind of have up there. We have a bunch, Clemson, Miami, Notre Dame. We'll talk about them. But
tough schedule for an ACC team, right?
Yeah.
Not to crap on the ACC, but it's a tough schedule.
It is, yeah. No, I think Miami's going to be a lot better this year. I think they're going to be much improved.
Yeah.
I think they have way too many holes, and they're going to lose three or four games. I think they're going to go 9-3 or 8-4. I think one of those losses is Florida State. And so if I get the Noles minus essentially even money, now we could win this game by one and I could lose on the hook. But if I'm essentially getting FSU at even money, I think the crowd factor is less on the road at Miami. Because you got plenty of FSU fans there as well. Florida State minus a point and a half. I'll take us to cover that. At least as of now, you know, like we may, you know, they may be 8-0 when we play them then, and it might be Miami minus 7 or something crazy. But yeah, as of right now, if I'm getting a point and a half, I need to see them win a lot. I mean, it's a team coming off. I mean, they have 13 wins over the last. I'm sorry, they have 12 wins over the last 2 years. Like I'm not sweating that just yet, right? Like I need to see them win before I'm betting on them. So yeah, Florida State minus a point and a half. I'll take the Noles.
When I see a spread that close, CJ, I immediately look at the head coach and think, okay, the head coach could potentially decide the outcome of this game. It's not going to swing in Mario's favor if history tells us anything. Like he is not a good game day coach. He will develop or not develop, but compile an elite roster. That's what he does. He did it at Oregon. He's done it at Miami. He recruits extremely well. But on game day, look no further than the Georgia Tech game last year, where he wanted to get his running back 100 yards. What does he do? He loses the game because of that. He's just not a good game day coach. I trust Mike Norvell, who has never lost against Miami when he's been on the sidelines coaching against them. I think Florida State wins this game, but I do think this, in my opinion, this is our toughest game. We'll get to what I think is our second toughest game here very shortly. But I do think this will be our toughest game just based on the talent that he has compiled at Miami. But I think when it comes to game day, I don't trust Mario at all. And I do trust Mike Norvell a heck of a lot. And Florida State will win that game. So I will take Florida State. We might win 31-30, which would suck because we lose the spread there.
Right? Wouldn't suck me. But, wouldn't suck for me, bro.
But I'm taking Mike and the Noles to cover the 1.5 points.
Here's one that I am very conflicted on. I'm gonna make you go first on this one and see if I can either want to argue with you or agree with you. But Florida State plus 3.5 at Notre Dame. Man, I think I'm selling on Notre Dame this year. I don't think I'm as high on them as other people are. Now, I know the last time we went up there and played in that absolutely brutal weather in November,
I left at halftime.
I get what that can do. But I just don't think Notre Dame is going to be as good as people think. But I'll let you go first on this one. Florida State, 3.5-point underdogs at Notre Dame as of today.
Give me Florida State in the points. And I think they win this game. I'm not going to say convincingly, but I'm not going to go to Chicago because I'm going to Dublin. But I think this is a game where Florida State wins convincingly. Marcus Freeman has done a great job at Notre Dame. I think he's a really good coach, but I think he's just not on Mike Norvell's level. And Mike Norvell's going to have this team ready. It sucks that it's, you know, kind of late in the year, so it might be a little cold, but it's not going to be.
It's going to be cold.
It's not going to be like we were when we went up there in 2018, I think you said. I was there. We left at halftime. It was so cold. It was like 26 degrees. It's
bro, it's the same time of year. It might be.
It probably won't be. even if it is, man, like I just really think Mike Norvell, I'm all in on this guy. And, you know, there's a reason Alabama wanted two coaches, Kalen DeBoer and Mike Norvell, because Mike Norvell is one of the best coaches in the country. And I don't think their roster is far, far and away better than ours. I think we go up there and win. I put me down, Harlan, for taking the money line on this game.
Cheating. I certainly like us with the points. I mean, 3.5, we'll see what it is. Obviously, when you know, we've got a lot of game between now and then.
Yeah, that number will change a lot.
You know, it'll be a huge difference on a lot of these games by the time we get to it. But, man, at +3.5 right now, like I've got to make a bet. I'm taking FSU because I just don't think Notre Dame's going to be that good. Spoiler or fun fact, do you know that DJ Uiagalelei has threw for more yards than any other quarterback ever thrown against Notre Dame in that year that Trevor had to sit out of the game? And so, yeah, I'm not necessarily saying he does that, but I'm just not sold on their quarterback. They got the transfer from Duke, Riley Leonard. I'm not sold on their – I mean, they weren't good last year, and I don't think they got much better. I like the Noles to probably –
We played Riley Leonard last year. Did not impact us at all. Yeah, he wasn't entirely healthy, but still, he was a non-factor.
Yeah, I just don't really worry about Notre Dame. Now, they do play better at home, and they do play well in the cold, and that's something that Florida State is going to have to get over. But I still like Florida State here. All right, and then we'll finish up with this one. I feel like this is a big number too, but being at home and maybe playing a team without a coach, Florida State a 12.5 point favorite against Florida. Man, I feel like that's high because, you know, even with Jordan and you played them at home a couple of years ago, you won by 7, right? And then last year with a couple of backups, like I feel like they always play it tough, just like Miami does. And yeah. So I don't know. I'd probably take the 12.5 at this point, but you might be playing them already having quit. You might be playing them, you know, I hope that nothing happens to either of our quarterbacks again this year. But, you know, a lot of people forget Graham Mertz took a beating all year last year. Like, they were getting him killed. And I don't know that their offensive line's even any better. So you might end up with you could be playing a backup again in this thing. You could be playing a bunch of guys that are already making draft decisions because their team's 3-8. You could there'd be a lot of scenarios where this could end up happening. But, man, if they're at full strength and they're 5-7 or something trying to play for a bowl game, I think they're going to fight their tails off for Billy's job, for a bowl, for embarrassment, for pride, for everything else, just like they did last year. And with a third string quarterback, they couldn't get it, or second string quarterback, they couldn't get it done. If they're healthy and they have merch and stuff and they're fighting for anything, even if it is just Billy's job, I think they're going to play really hard. I take Florida at +12.5 here. Now, if Billy's gone, merch is banged up, the team's already checked out, yeah, I like the Noles to win by a ton. But I think all like this early, I think I'd take Florida because that's just a ton of points.
They have a brutal stretch to end the season. You know, I can't say one way or the other. If you were to ask me today, based on what I think might happen, I'm probably taking Florida State. So Harlan put down for Florida State on this one to cover the spread. But it all comes down to the Miami game. Open the season. If they lose that game, yeah, I think that spread jumps up to maybe 16.5 or plus. It could get ugly, but if Florida wins that game and they go on a streak, because the early part of their schedule, they could start off 5-0, 6-1. But man, that back half of the schedule with LSU, Georgia, Florida State, it could get rough, right? And if Billy's fighting for his life, I think if they're 5-6 or even 6-5, I think Billy's done at that point. They're just going to say, all right, we're done here. We're moving on. Yeah. But I'll take Florida State on the spread at this point right now, knowing what we know right now.
Yeah. So, all right, let me know down below if you're watching this on YouTube, let me know down below what I've got the Noles going 3-3 against the spread here. I've got, you know, Boston College covering. I've got Clemson covering. I've got Florida covering. I think Richie has us I think, Richie, the only game is Boston College is the game that he doesn't like us to cover. And everywhere else, I think he's got us. So 5-1,
not a homer. Not a homer at all.
Yeah, 5-1, Richie, 3-3, me. But I'd love to be wrong on that. So, all right, a quick around the horn, and we will get out of here. Softball lost the ACC championship after winning the first two games of the tournament. They lost in kind of dramatic fashion late in the sixth inning in a game that they had chances, just couldn't get it done. Baseball lost their opener and had a game rained out, so they're playing a doubleheader or finishing up a game and then playing the second one here on Sunday on Mother's Day. We'll find out tonight where softball is headed. I think should be hosting a regional. We did a softball breakdown over on YouTube. If you haven't seen that, you can go check it out. We'll probably do something else this week after the softball and baseball series, talk a little bit more about whatever they've got upcoming this week. We'll find out their regional host. If they are able to host a regional, which I think they will, and what that'll look like. And then, of course, we'll talk all things football as well. So if you're not subscribed over on the YouTube, you should be. Go check it out. Men's tennis dropped and fell in a third set tiebreaker that was really just super dramatic at the end, but they lost to Tennessee. That would have been for a trip to the Elite Eight. Did not end up making it. And then I saw women's golf made it to the national championships. They held on. It was tense there at the end, but they did hold on to fifth place, and so they make it to the NCAA championships. Men's golf will have their regional this week. Richie, any shout-outs before we get out of here?
Yeah, shout-out the great, the GOAT, Brooks Koepka, going to defend his PGA championship at Vallejo in Louisville, Kentucky. Won his LIV tournament last week, and he is going to try and go back-to-back in the PGA. Shout-out Drake this week in Vallejo, and I am really excited to tune in and watch.
I don't know that I have any shout-outs. Shout-out all the moms. Shout-out my wife. Shout-out my mom, my stepmom, aunts, grandmas, all those people that are important to you. You guys do the same. Give them some love. I got a funny joke I'll tell you off air, Richie. And that's all I got. Go Noles.
Go Noles.